Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this Sunday after Christmas is this. Would you read it with me one more time? The Politics of Christmas. Based on Luke 2, 1 to 5. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. The politics of Christmas. There's an old saying, I'm not sure where it came from, but it says this: in polite society, you should not discuss two topics, politics and religion. Today, we're going to do both. Who was the first person mentioned in Luke's account of the Christmas story? Did you catch it? It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Mary. It wasn't Joseph. It was a Roman emperor, a politician, some 1,500 miles away in Rome. His political decision, made for his own selfish purposes, humanly speaking, led to the events of Bethlehem's manger. As we're going to see in our sermon today, though, what Caesar Augustus thought was his decision, because Caesar Augustus thought he was in charge of all the inhabited world, really behind the scenes stood the loving and guiding hand of our Heavenly Father. Caesar Augustus' decision can be a part of the Galatians 4:4 passage that Ian just read to you, where Paul wrote, "When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Savior." That fullness of time is a wonderful phrase. In the Greek language, the phrase means when the time was pregnant. The phrase is used of a woman when she's just about ready to give birth and she can't hold back any longer. Some of you can relate to that. Paul says when the time was just right, when God had matters all lined up the way He wanted them to be lined up, He sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, born under the rule of Caesar Augustus. Now, why did Mary and Joseph have to travel 80 or 90 miles, over 100 kilometers from Nazareth in the north of Israel to Bethlehem in the south of Judah? This is something men can't quite relate to, but ladies, imagine yourself being Mary, 9 months pregnant, riding on the back of a donkey for at least 4 days. Jeff, the shocks and struts in the donkey wouldn't have cushioned the blow very much for 9 month pregnant Mary. And they traveled those 80 or 90 miles south to Bethlehem. Why did they go there? Verse 3 of our text tells us, everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph made new sense of that old Christmas song we heard on the radio for weeks, "I'll be home for Christmas." Joseph had to go home where his family came from. He came from the line of David. He went back to Bethlehem, his ancestral home. Or according to the command of Caesar Augustus, go home where you started so we can make an accurate count. And again, it's so humorous when you think of this account. Caesar thought he was calling the shots. We know somebody's hand was behind his. Let's get to know Caesar Augustus a little better since we're talking about politics and Christmas. And pardon me for talking about politics and religion in a public place. Caesar Augustus ruled Rome for 44 years. Now that is a long time. Emperors and rulers and kings at those days didn't last all that long for many reasons. Caesar Augustus, 44 years. It's been said that Caesar Augustus changed the city of Rome from brick to marble. He commanded amazing building projects, buildings, theaters, sporting arenas, temples. He produced an entire new water system to bring water into the city. Caesar Augustus was also a very famous religious reformer. He noticed by his time there was a drooping interest in the pantheon of the Roman and Greek gods. So he set out to revive the religion of the Romans and their pagan gods. Remember some of the names of these gods: Zeus, Apollo, Neptune, and the list goes on. Caesar Augustus had made in the city of Rome, just in the city of Rome, 82 new temples to these Roman gods. In fact, because of this, Caesar was given a nickname. He was called Pontifex Maximus, which means the greatest priest. Now listen again to Luke 2:1-3. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of the entire inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his own way to register for the census, each to his own ancestral city. What was the issue behind the census? A census, as you know, is a counting of the citizens in a country or nation. The real reason Caesar in history ordered this census was this. He was angry. He was upset with the male population of the nation of Rome because there were far too many bachelors in the kingdom. So what's the problem with that? Well, the more bachelors you had in the kingdom of Rome, the less people you would have. Less children would be born. The less children would be born, the lower the tax base would be. The lower the tax base, the lower the worker numbers. The lower the worker numbers, the lower the people would be conscripted into the Roman government as well. Caesar was upset. What were the men of Rome doing? Marriage was at an all-time low. The birth rate was at an all-time low. The men of Rome were either visiting prostitutes, or the new thing that was in vogue in Rome, what a curse, was the promulgation of homosexual relationships of the men in Rome as well. And the marital and birth rates plummeted, and Caesar was upset. Fewer babies, fewer taxes, fewer workers, fewer soldiers. And so Caesar Augustus called a meeting in the Roman Forum. And now listen as I quote to you from the history books of Rome, part of the speech of Caesar Augustus. What shall I call you? Men? But you aren't fulfilling the duties of Roman citizens. Citizens? For all your efforts, the city of Rome is perishing. Romans? But you are in the process of blotting out this name altogether. What humanity would be left if all the rest of mankind would do what you are doing? You are committing murder in not fathering in the first place those who ought to be citizens of Rome and your descendants. Caesar was upset. And so Caesar passed some laws. One of these laws was a strict command to take a census. But Caesar also commanded a number of other laws. I just called out for you three laws that I think are the most intriguing. First law he commanded for the citizens of Rome was this: sex outside of marriage is a crime for which one could be imprisoned. Wow. Try floating that one today. Secondly, there would be both political and tax advantages for fathers who had at least three children. So if you're a papa out there with three, less taxes, more chances for advancement. And here comes my favorite one. You almost have to laugh at this one. If you were a bachelor, your taxes would be increased. And here comes the big one. Wait for this. You could get no good seats at the Colosseum for any sporting events. That really got the attention, probably, of some of the men. Oh, boy. And so this census that Caesar Augustus commanded was a big thing. How big? When Caesar Augustus was buried, and when his mortal remains were put into his family mausoleum, a marble-encased burial tomb, he listed on the outside of his mausoleum the 35 great acts of Caesar Augustus. And in his 35, this census that Luke records in Luke chapter 2, Caesar said was number 8 of his 35 official acts. And perhaps this census was used to see if his laws were taking any effect. How so? To see if the birth rate was increasing. Now listen again to Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. All the inhabited earth is a Roman grandiose way of saying everybody under the control of Caesar Augustus. That is the entire Roman Empire. Now listen again to Luke 2, 1 to 5 with this history in mind. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. But far before Caesar Augustus made this decree, listen to what the Old Testament prophet Micah had to say. Some 700 years before Caesar made his declaration, some 700 years before, humanly speaking, it was necessary for Mary and Joseph to travel from their hometown of Nazareth, 80 miles south, to little podunk village of Bethlehem. Listen to what Micah says. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me, to be ruler of Israel, and his goings forth are from long ago. Did you catch it? Caesar thought he was in charge. The world might have thought, well, the reason Jesus was born in Bethlehem is because Caesar said, go home, and Joseph did. But the prophet Micah said hundreds of years before the event, this is God's plan from all eternity. The Messiah, the Savior, will come out of Bethlehem. Oh, not out of Mega Vancouver. The Savior will be born in Ladner. And God was behind it all. In Genesis 50, verse 20, I confess to you, I find one of the most precious and comforting passages in the whole Bible. It's at the end of the story of Joseph. The crazy, mixed up, difficult, painful life of Joseph, finally at the end, when everything works out as God intended it to work out. And Joseph is number two of all of Egypt, and Joseph's brothers are bowing before him in fear, thinking he is going to have their neck because they sold him into slavery. But listen to what Joseph says. He says to them, man may have meant this for evil, but God can bring good out of evil. And this is one of the messages of the Christmas story we so often overlook. Evil, wicked, godless Caesar Augustus compelling the census to raise money, to raise taxes, to raise an army. And God says, right. It's not your mom and dad who were in charge in the home. It's not the principal who's in charge at school. It's not the mayor who's in charge of the city, the premier of a province, the prime minister of a country, the president of a nation. God says, I'm behind it all. Man may mean these things for evil, but God says, I can bring good out of evil. And the best proof of that is the cross. Because Mary's little child, as we know, grew to be the man, our Savior, who laid his life down on the cross for you and me. And the Roman soldiers thought they were in charge as they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. And the Jewish leaders thought they were in charge if they got their way because they yelled, crucify him. And the devil thought he had won the victory because he thumbed his nose at the Christ and said, now I've got you where I want you. And it may have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. And God the Father demonstrated who was behind it all, who had the victory. Who was guiding this very thing for Mary and Joseph going to Nazareth, to the census by a pagan emperor, to Jesus going to the cross, to the empty tomb. My friends, today's message is not just a history lesson. It's a word of encouragement for you and me. Because I'm sure there are times in your lives, as there are in mine, when you wonder, who is in charge here? Things don't seem to be going the way I want them to go. God, do you care? And God says, take a breath. Realize, behind everything that's presented to you in this world, stands two hands. And if you look carefully, you'll notice those hands are nail pierced. Man may mean this for evil, but God can bring evil out of good. And part of God's Christmas gift to you, by the way, have you opened all your presents? Today, God gives you one more. Part of God's Christmas gift to you, through Luke's account of the census of Caesar Augustus, is this. Evil will never thwart God's plans. God ultimately is in charge. He is behind the scenes of history. He will take care of you. You are in good hands. And this is especially true for you, my beloved congregation, and for Beverly and me, as now you have heard from me, my last sermon for 3 months, God will take care of us and bring us back together. Meanwhile, be praying for Pastor Rogo. You're in for an absolute treat as he preaches and teaches and guides this flock and shepherds you. But remember through all these messages, especially the one today, God is in control. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.